Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, 6 Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the 6 Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the 6 Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the 6 Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Emily, and me.
All right, Sister Emily, what do you got in the way of prayer requests for us tonight?
What was that, Ken?
Said, what do you got in the way of prayer requests for us tonight?
I'll just say it this way on the air, because both you and Ruth know what I talked to both of y'all about. It's just a special unspoken for my family, as well as Austin's family and Chrissy's family.
All right.
And my usual.
Okay.
Also be keeping me in prayer, because I've been fighting what they call pleurisy and bronchitis for about 2 weeks or so now.
Okay.
Also for Annabelle and her job.
All right.
And with that, I'm complete.
All right. Ruth, your turn.
I agree with Emily in prayer, and I also praying for the war in Israel. So far, Tim has been safe. We've been talking to him. He's okay. But he does hear the bombs going off all the time, so it's not easy to sleep, poor guy. Emily, I've been having some other issues with my health, but it's not like hers. It's not as bad as hers, anyway. And I'm getting there. I'm going to possibly get my injections pretty soon, I'm hoping. So I'll wing it, take it one day at a time. And I'm complete.
Okay, of course, as you guys mentioned, with the war in Israel, pray for our leaders in all the different countries. They start to seek after God, not after man. Our military, our first responders, police, ambulance, fire, those that work in hospitals, nursing homes, the patients there, and, of course, the sick and shut-in, lost in general, especially that soul who is nearest hell, that they'd come to Christ. And, of course, we want to keep in prayer all of the requests for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network and, just in general, all the needs that we've mentioned. So, Sister Emily, you being the prayer team leader of Holiness Bible for the Blind, and since you showed up tonight, we are going to honor you with that pleasure. So, take it away.
You said take it away, but you didn't say what, hey, Kenny, when you said what you did and you go, take it away, in what direction?
Well, long as it gets to heaven, that's all that matters. Go ahead.
Hey, I had to try and be funny tonight, because my week this week has been total torture.
What, the Chinese water torture?
All right, Kenny. Don't get me laughing, or I'll have to have Ruthie.
Or was it the rack?
Drawn and quartered.
Drawn and quartered? Crucifixion? What kind of torture?
All right, you two babes.
All right.
Well, let's get the prayer done here.
We're trying to get you laughing, sweetheart.
Hey, Rui.
Yeah.
River. Got a question.
Hmm.
Will you open and I'll close?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, no problem. All right, dear Lord, we love and praise your name, and you know what all the requests are, what Emily mentioned and what I mentioned, and also pray for Kenny, too. He hasn't been feeling well today. And be with the situation in Israel, and please keep Tim from being hurt, because he's hearing bombs going off all night. Poor guy can hardly sleep. So I know your angels are there. And we just want to praise and bless your name and be with us on the program. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, today we got a good program for you. Of course, great gospel music. Then we go into our archives once again. You can find the same message that we're going to feature tonight. You click Fearless, you click Sermons, then click Fearless Teachings, then go down to the letter T under Fearless Teachings to where you see the blood, the blood. And I won't say anything about the preacher who's preaching it, but when it gets all said and done, somebody who's listening tonight will recognize the preacher.
Kenny, I can tell you who it is.
Ah.
It's Ron Sigmund, my cousin.
Ah, well.
I remember being there when he preached it.
So, well, she let the cat out of the bag. Okay.
And actually, Emily knows Ron.
So, you already know who's going to be the preacher tonight. And then after that, of course, Tim goes into the second round of song and poem. He already has got his foot on the carburetor. Will he continue doing good with the song and poem as he goes into the second week? Will he continue? And then after that, of course, Ruth will be with her Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight?
One world, good or bad.
Ooh. Well,
I think you'll like it.
In light of what's been going on over in Israel and that kind of thing, something I think we all enjoyed hearing about. So we'll check that out. Then, of course, we'll have a few last announcements. And then, of course, Emily, as she said, will be giving us our closing prayer. And, of course, just before she does, prayer requests will be taken with open mic at that time. So here we go, everybody. Let's boogie for Jesus.
Amen.
Hey, Kenny.
Huh?
I wanted, if you don't mind, before we go into our boogie music.
Uh-huh.
If you don't mind, I give a little testimony tonight.
Oh, go right for it.
Yesterday, as I said, I've been fighting bronchitis and pleurisy, and out of respect for my neighbors, when I leave my apartment, I have the common courtesy to put a mask on, being I hadn't been doing so good. Well, yesterday, I saw one of my neighbors on the floor in the building where I'm living, and they came in as I was getting ready to leave the room where we drop our trash down a chute. And I had the privilege to leading a new neighbor to Christ in the trash room yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Which, amen.
Which goes to tell you out there, dear listeners, you don't have to be in church to accept Christ. Hey, yep. Even a trash room. Christ will save you anywhere and everywhere. Very good point, Emily, and I thank you for that testimony. It's a very good point that, hey, you don't have to be saved in a church building. A lot of people think, and we've heard that right even here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, well, you've got to go to church. Wait a minute. Church is all fine. But remember, Christ didn't build a building. He built a body of Christ. The body of Christ is not a building. It's his body. We're all the body of Christ. Emily's the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. Ruth's the body of Christ. Whoever accepts Christ out there, you are part of the body of Christ. You could be in Georgia. I could be in Ohio. Another listener could be in California. And we all be part of the body of Christ and yet be one. You don't have to be in the same building. Amen.
Hey, Kenny.
Uh-huh.
Also, as youth director for our ministry, I'm going to put it this way, even to our young people. They get told, oh, you got to go to the church building to assemble yourselves. Excuse me. The young people that may listen to our station, they're assembling with believers no matter if they're in a different country.
Amen.
So
exactly. Because
it's like this.
When you think about it,
young
when you think about it, okay.
Them, oh, you got to go to the church building. God didn't do that on the Sea of Galilee.
Okay. Let me give you an example, okay? You could go over here to the Ford automobile plant. Okay? And they take all the parts for a certain model of Ford, we'll say a Ford F-150, and they put it all together, they assemble it into a working Ford F-150. Now, if I went over here to AutoZone and slowly but surely bought each piece and got all the pieces for an F-150 from bumper to bumper and assembled it in my garage, cranked up that engine after I've painted it and put fuel in it and oil in it and everything in it, cranked up that engine, went down here to the title office at the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and got the title for it and everything. Is it not assembled? Is it still not an F-150?
Yes, it is.
If I assemble it on the beach, is it not an F-150?
Yeah.
See, it's not where it's assembled. It means to bring together. So when Christ and the apostle who wrote the book of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves, as the manner of some is. He's not saying a building. Nowhere in that verse did it say a building. You can assemble on a church, on a street corner and be assembled. See, many people take that verse and they take it out of context. Throughout the New Testament, they assembled in homes. It says they went from house to house. Okay? So they assembled in homes. They didn't assemble in what we would call church buildings. It wasn't until more modern day that we specifically church houses to meet in. But many a church was started in the basement of somebody's home or in the parlor of somebody's home. Why? Because that's where they assembled. See, the church is the body of Christ. It's not a building. And that's what Emily just tried to point out, and that's what we're trying to point out. You can assemble wherever you are, even right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, assemble here and be a part of the body of Christ. We have Maggie Belfort over there in Scotland who listens to us, and she's assembled with us. Doesn't mean that she's not part of the body of Christ. Just because she's over there in Scotland, no, she's still part of the body of Christ. So remember, no matter where you may be, you can accept Christ and you can still assemble. Amen.
Hey, Kenny.
Huh?
Where's that scripture that says where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst?
We'd have to look that one up. All right, Ruth, you're the bloodhound. Sniff it out by the end of the show.
All right.
All right.
And I was saved in my bedroom, so I wasn't in church either.
All right. So why don't we get right into the boogie music and let's boogie. We all ready?
Amen. Let's have fun.
I'll tell you
all right,
something
so here
after
we go.
This show because I don't want to get you laughing.
All right. So here we go.
Let's boogie.
God sent his son They called him Yeshua He came to love Heal and forgive He bled and died To buy my pardon An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future And life is worth living just because He Thank you.
Shalom from the Sea of Galilee. I am so excited to announce April 7th is the resurrection premiere of our Live at the Garden Tomb, featuring a beautiful presentation from the town of Jesus, Capernaum, and greetings from my friends around the world. So join me this April 7th on my YouTube channel, our Garden Tomb Live resurrection premiere. I'll see you there.
Savior all the days long. He's just the blind man in the bleachers, the local hometown fans. And he sits beneath the speakers, way back in the stands. And he listens to the play-by-play, just waiting for one name. He wants to hear his son get in the game. But the boy's just not a hero. He's strictly second team. Though he runs each night for touchdowns in his daddy's sweetest dreams. He's gonna be a star someday, so you might never tell. But the blind man in the bleachers knows he will. It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home. And no one knows the reason why the blind man didn't come. And his boy looks kind of nervous, sometimes turns around and says, boys are trying, but they slowly lose their will. Another player's down and out, carry from the field. At that time in the locker room, the kid goes off alone, and no one sees him talking on the phone. And the game's already started. When he gets back to the team, and half the crowd can hear his coach yell, where the hell you been? Just getting ready for the second half, with all his faith. But now, you gotta let me in to play. Asked him to tell what was it he was thinking of that made him play so well. Well, you knew my dad was blind, he said. Tonight he passed away. It's the first time that my father's seen me play. It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home. I know.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name.
Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
With A.J. and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
Well, when was it the last time you heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And did you answer that call in the same way Isaiah did, saying, here am I, send me? Well, God told you that in his word in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into all nations. He told you to go already. He already told you to go. No matter who you are, big or small, male or female, rich or poor, he said, go ye therefore into all nations. It is your job to go. He already said to go. He has already sent you. So, go. He is sending you. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Amen.
By love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the score.
At once
it was broken. Like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and sealed out, just for love of you, Jesus. My most precious treasure, that is for me. Broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet. Willingly, you spend.
congregation, you can see they've been around. And they had the biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the Amen corner of that church, that brother Al, and he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords. And nearly every Sunday, he'd get behind and miss the word. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told and fined that Brother Al must stop his singing, or the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee. I think it was three or four. And they got in their big, fine car and drove up to Al's door. They found the choir's great trouble sitting there in an old armchair, and the summer's golden sunbeams lay upon his snow-white hair. Said York, we're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, we don't want no singing except what we've bought. The newest tunes are all the rest. The old ones stand for naught. And so we have decided... Are you listening, Brother I? You'll have to stop your singing. It's messing up our choir. The old man raised his head, a sign that he did hear. And on his cheek, the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silk as snow. And he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. I've sung the Psalms of David nearly 80 years, said he. They've been my staff and comfort all along life's weary way. Sorry I disturbed the choir. I guess I'm doing wrong. But when my heart is filled with praise, I can't keep back a song. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master I shall meet, yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up high, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother I was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgotten. A few churchgoers watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desires, where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir. Let me hide myself in thee.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter. Oh.
Amen.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBibles. FortheBlind.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is that time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is the Hebrew word for Bible, which is Tanakh. Again, that's Tanakh. T-E-N-A-C as in cat, H. Tanakh. Again, it's the Hebrew word for Bible. Basic instructions for leaving earth. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And again, the Hebrew word of the week for this week is the Hebrew word for Bible, which is Tanakh, spelled T-E-N-A-C, as in cat, H, according to its Hebrew pronunciation, Tanakh. And again, that's the Hebrew word for Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew word of the week. Till next time, God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Back through the years I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece we loved, she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me why she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me,
made just for me.
Yeah.
drunk up all the way down to the very last drop. All the water in the well to swirl by. And I found myself looking at the bottom of the well, and my soul was stone bone dry. For just one drink of living water, my soul began to cry. And as my prayer went on up, Jesus filled up my cup, and I just came by here to testify. Oh, it's so cool.
Covered by the blood. I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This press officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Something like this. The TV commercial would show a lot of people in a restaurant. They would just be eating, and there would be background noise, like waitresses and waiters and dishes in the background and the clanking of silverware. And somebody would bend across the table and say, "E.F. Hutton says," and it would get quiet. You remember that? And what they would say is, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. I began thinking about things that make us listen. There's a five-letter word, B-L-O-O-D. And today, when somebody mentions the word blood, it brings all kinds of thoughts into our minds. And people listen. I want to take a little survey tonight. How many of you, by raise of your hand, have donated blood to the Red Cross? Very good. I want you to remember something. This is important. One pint of your blood can help four people. That's important to remember, okay? How many of you have ever had a blood transfusion? A few. Sometime in our life, the Red Cross tells us that one out of 20 Americans will have a blood transfusion. When we start thinking of AIDS and the things that we hear about on the news, that can get scary. And I started thinking about blood, so I went to the Red Cross and I got some information. I started reading about it, and I found out that if you're going to need blood, there's one of five things that you can do. One is called autologous donation. And what that is if you know you're going to have surgery, say a month from now, you can go down to the hospital. They'll withdraw a pint of blood out of your veins, tag your name on it, put it in storage, and a month from now, when you have surgery, you get your own blood back. That's pretty safe. The next one is called hemodilution. And what it is donating your blood at the time of surgery. When you go in for surgery, you're on the table, they take a pint of blood out, they hold it aside, and then through the process of the surgery, if you need blood, they give you your own blood back, fresh. That's pretty safe. Another way is when they put you under, they slow you down, and your heart doesn't beat very hard, and so you don't lose much blood. But during surgery, you do lose some blood. And they found a way to strain your blood, cleanse it, put it back into your body. That's pretty safe. The fourth way is a little bit different. That is going to your friends, your family, and your relatives and saying, "I'm going to have surgery, and I need blood. Would you donate blood to me?" And if you trust their moral lifestyle, you feel pretty good about getting blood from them. But there is a drawback. I'm B positive. Jenny's A positive. I can't give my blood to Jenny or she'll die. You have to get blood the same type. That limits what you can do. The fifth way of getting blood is when we have gone to the Red Cross, we have donated our blood. It takes about an hour to go through the process and get your little munchies at the end and visit with all the people that are turning white and go your way. And you have faith that they have checked that blood and it's going to be safe for you to get. That they know what they're doing. We're so fearful about the spread of AIDS that we will go to just about any length we can to ensure that our family and ourselves are safe. The word blood, when I think of it, makes me think when I watch 911. It used to be when I worked at the hospital as a receiving man that I would go up to ER and to OR, and I would see the doctors and nurses, and they'd have latex surgical gloves on and a mask on to protect the patient. But not anymore. It's not just to protect the patient, it's to protect themselves from the patient. And now they even wear shields over their face so they don't get anything splattered in their eyes. We are very careful. And sometimes the word blood and the implications that come with us just scare us. What is blood that is so good about it? And what is blood that scares us about blood? In the average male, in the average adult, there's approximately 10 pints of this red liquid. Now, it's not just any liquid. It's something very special. Red blood contains red blood cells. That gives it its color. And it also courses through our veins as our heart pumps it. And in our lungs, it picks up oxygen and feeds our body. You need to remember that. It feeds our body. And then it comes back to our lungs and it gives off carbon dioxide. The average adult has about 25 trillion red blood cells. That's pretty important. That much of something in me is important. The next is white blood cells. White blood cells fight infection. They keep us from catching viral infections over and over and over and over again. Most of us probably know people that have had a low white blood count, and they're very ill, and they're very susceptible to everything that comes along. Plasma is next. Plasma is a part of our blood. About 50% of plasma is water. I'm sorry, about 50% of blood is plasma, rather. 92% of that is water. That's important to remember. Water is very important. The other 8% is proteins, vitamins, minerals, nutrients, and about 200 other items. And then lastly, there are platelets. Platelets are small, irregularly shaped little things in our blood that when we get cut, it goes to that area and it clots and it helps us. You didn't know all that was in your blood, did you? We just take it for granted. As we sit here, this is all going on inside of our body, keeping us healthy. We take it for granted. There are 8 different kinds of blood types. There's O positive and O negative. A positive, A negative. B positive, B negative. AB positive, AB negative. O positive is the most popular. 1 out of every 3 of us in this room have O positive blood. That's pretty popular, pretty common. AB negative, 1 in 167 people will have it. We call it rare. As I read over this stuff and I was thinking about how precious blood is, I thought, I am at B positive. 1 in 12 have it. I don't care 1 in 2 has it. If I need it, it's precious. Blood is precious. Your blood, whatever your type, is precious to you. It gives physical life to you. The scriptures tell us that in the blood is the life of man. Blood is important. O, type O, is very important because it's interchangeable. It is universal. When I read that, I thought, oh, I'm starting to see something, folks. I don't work for the Red Cross. That's not why I'm here. But I learned something from this. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, I don't know what blood type Jesus had, but you and I can give our blood, and one pint can help four people. Jesus shed his blood, and it's universal. It cleanses whosoever will. I praise the Lord for that, for the precious blood that he shed. The Bible thing is the blood of Christ. From the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve to the book of Revelation, we remove the blood from the Bible, and we have a book without a heart. A gospel without hope and saving power. Remove the blood from the body, and we have a corpse. Remove the blood from the Christian faith, and we have a lifeless creed. It's not worth holding. The blood is the price of our redemption. Is there anybody in here that's ever sinned? We're all truthful anyway. Good. People down through the ages have wondered, how do you get rid of sin? John Bunyan wrote a book many years ago called Pilgrim's Progress, and in it, he characterized sin on the back of a person like a knapsack, heavy and weighty and bending our back over with a heavy burden that grows and grows and grows and grows. And the age-old question is, how do we get rid of this burden? Some have said, deny its existence. It'll go away. God says that he requires that which is past. We can't forget about it. God won't forget about your sins, but he'll forgive us for it. And he'll cleanse us and make our hearts anew. Some say, I have the power just to quit. I can quit anything I want, anytime I want. But the Bible says it's like a dog returning to his vomit. The sinner returns to his sin. It doesn't make you feel good, but it's true. The next is to work it out. I'm working on it. I'll come to church, people say, when I get my life in order. And I think, oh, I wish they could just see, Lord, that if they would come to church, or if they would sit down in the home with a friend and let them share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and get saved, God would put their life in order. I can't, and neither can you, and neither can our neighbors that we witness to. The age-old question is answered. Accept Jesus' offering on our behalf to repent and to believe the gospel. What does man say about the blood? Man has said in ages past that it's a slaughterhouse religion, something from the Stone Age and the Dark Ages. It doesn't belong today, not in our society. Some have said that Jesus' blood was good enough to redeem him, but not you or I. Some have said that the blood of Jesus had no more power after it was shed than it was when his heart pumped it through his body and it coursed through his veins. How deceived they are. I don't care about what other people say. I want to know what the Bible says about the blood of Jesus. We're told that the blood is the life of man, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sins. We look back, and God slew an animal. The blessing was in the death of the animal. Abel brought a blood offering, and it was accepted after the blood was shed. After the flood, Noah sacrificed. He shed the blood of animals. And then finally in Exodus, at the Passover, the children of Israel were to take the perfect spotless lamb and kill it and take its blood, its shed blood. And God said, tonight, I will pass over, and when I see the blood, apply. When I see the blood, I will pass over. We look the same on the outside. We try to make categories of people, the black and the white, the rich and the poor. those who are socially and economically on a higher standard and the down and outer. But God looks on the heart. What matters is, has the blood been applied or has it not? There is blood in the New Testament. We're told that neither by the blood of goats and calves and things like this, but by Jesus' own blood, he purchased our redemption. The blood is the promise of our peace. By nature, we are sinful, children of wrath. That's discouraging if we just harp on that over and over. But Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, friends, I have peace with God. I have a mind. I remember past 16 years ago, I didn't have peace with God, but Jesus purchased it for me. The blood is the power for living. Blood in our physical body is very important. Blood goes into our lungs and picks up oxygen and distributes it to our body. And then as I thought of that spiritually, I thought, the blood, it purchases life for us, spiritual life. The air we breathe spiritually is because of the blood. In John chapter 4, Jesus talked to the woman at the well, and she said, you're going to give me water? I've got the bucket. You don't. How are you going to get water out of this well? You don't have anything to dip with. And Jesus said, but the water I will give to you will make you so you'll never thirst again. 50% of that plasma is water, essential for physical life. Jesus said, he that believes on me, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Spiritual life. Just a couple chapters later, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You know what? Through the walls in your intestines, your bloodstream picks up food and feeds your body and my body to keep us alive. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He didn't say I am strawberry shortcake. He didn't say I'm apple pie. He didn't say that he was chocolate. Those are non-essentials. Jesus told them that he was the bread of life, that which is essential to sustain life. And just as the bloodstream delivers this food to nourish and strengthen our bodies, so Jesus tries to get across to us, I am the bread of life. I am necessary. Absolute. No substitute. If you went into the hospital and they said, we're out of blood, but we've got red Kool-Aid, can we try? You'd say, you're nuts. And yet we try different things other than the blood, other than Jesus. There's no substitute for the blood, dear friends. And as I look at your faces tonight, I know many of you, and I know you're children of God. I know you've fed upon him and you've drunk of him. But when we eat and when we drink, that means getting something into us, and it makes us what we are. If you eat pop and potato chips and candy bars, you'll begin to look like that. If you eat food and vegetables and meat and all that, your body will show that. And what I'm getting at is, as we feed on Christ, get into the meat of the Word and drink of him, and he makes us who we are, we reflect him. There's no substitute. I've experienced it. And God is faithful. The blood has cleansed. We need to dwell on this. We need to think about this tonight as we go. How much we thank the Lord for saving us. And there are lost people in our neighborhood, people that we work with that need him. They need that water, that living water, and they need that food. In ending, I'd just like to say this. They get it. Your body It's the food and the water because of the blood. We get eternal life because of the blood. Maybe it scared you to think about blood, but let's think about it a different way. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing dirty or filthy about it, but rather it is a cleansing stream, a cleansing fountain that washes the sin away from our soul. Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight, and thank you for this verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for becoming human like us, flesh and blood, and then shedding that blood. Lord Jesus, I think how one pint of blood can help four people. And when you shed your blood, maybe you lost all 10 pints, and physically that would help 40 people. But spiritually, that shed blood can help the entire human race, of whosoever will, come to you and confess and put their faith and trust in you. Lord, help this to encourage us tonight when we realize how much you love us and what you've done on our behalf. And may it also help us as we go forward to share our faith with others and to pray and to ask the Lord of the harvest that you would send forth laborers and that we might be some of those laborers to win souls for you. And let them experience the cleansing blood that washes us clean and pure from sin. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering. We just love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And now it is time for Tim Gruber to give us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
I'm a little boy with glasses, the one they call a geek. A little girl who never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh.
We're all humans trapped by circumstance in dark and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs, one man held his log back, for on the faces round the fire, he noticed one was black. The next one looking across the way saw one not from his church. He couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes and gave his coat a hitch. Why should my log be used, he asked, to aid the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his piece of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man in this forlorn group did nothing except for gain. Giving only to those who gave to him was how he played the game. Six logs held tight in death's still hands was proof of human sin. They did not die from the cold without, they died from the cold within.
All right, Tim, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Brother Kenny, I would say the answer. Brother Kenny, I would say the answer is, in terms of the common theme between that song and that poem, the common theme I would say is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do not take pleasure in the suffering of others.
Okay. And you sure you want that to be your final answer?
I will certainly keep that as my answer, Brother Kenny.
Well, Tim, you are definitely on a roll with a foot in the carburetor already. You got 2 for 2 already out of the gate. Yep, I definitely have to take that answer. Because what we're really looking for is not to be prejudiced, but what you're saying there was also just as good because it was basically saying the same thing, so we'll take that. And because they were being prejudiced in both situations, talking about types of prejudice, but what you're saying is basically the same thing too. So we'll give that one to you too, so you got 2 for 2.
Bring on number 3.
Well, we'll certainly do that for this next week. Amen. And we'll continue with the program. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Among us, and many so far away, having war and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
United States Ambassador to the United Nations, and Mr. U. Thant, Secretary General of the United Nations, in prepared speeches at the 96th Charter Anniversary Ceremonies of the University of California at Berkeley, issued passionate pleas for one world unity. Both of these men, who were in extremely important political positions of world government during their political careers, made the statement that nationalism continues to present an extreme peril to world peace. Mr. Stevenson had visionary hallucinations of an entirely new world in his audacious dream of one world unity. A momentous political change has taken place in the world today. Statesmen and world politicians are gradually realizing the government structure of the nations of the earth. Men are thinking in terms of a one world government. For centuries, separate nations have maintained their individual nationalism at all costs, but since the formation of the One World United Nations Organization in San Francisco in 1945 under a permanent charter with international headquarters in New York City, we've seen a continual psychological warfare being waged against nationalism, the sovereignty of the individual nation in a tenacious endeavor form and solidify all nations into a one-world government. Ever since the United Nations actually came into being in 1945, when it received its permanent charter, its revolutionary leaders have continually pled for a one-world government. The thing that is amazing about the late Mr. Stevenson's suggestion relative to world unity is that world unity is eventually going to become the order of the day. If mankind is to exist on this globe, it will be absolutely necessary to have a one-world government. The prophetic word of God outlines such a condition for the closing days of this present age, but I'm overwhelmed that the government leaders are pushing for world unity with all their political might. It appears as though a supernatural satanic power drives them onward. Satan wants to take possession of planet Earth, so politicians are pushing for a one-world government. There's a much exciting, intriguing prophetic drama being prepared at the present time. Whereas in just a short time, the nations of the earth are going to be willing to do away with their individual nationalism, and as Mr. Stevenson pled, they will embrace a one-world government with an international police force, an international one-world court under the jurisdiction of universal law, and whole setup will be supported by universal taxation. Everyone, often we see indications of such in the news. Such a calamitous situation will be the order of the future day for the generation being born now. For instance, we see diplomatic machinery now working, and the end result will be a one-world family of nations. Back in July of 1963, more than 500 lawyers from all over the world met in Athens, Greece, at the World Peace Through Law Conference. One of the speakers at that conference was the then Chief Justice Earl Warren of the United States Supreme Court. He encouraged lawyers of the world to work together to create an international court with judicial power to enforce its decisions. In June of 1963, Mr. Yu Sant, speaking at a meeting of the Harvard Alumni Association in Cambridge, Massachusetts, urged the ultimate establishment of an international police force, or one world army. Mr. Sant further said, until nations are prepared to accept the idea of a permanent United Nations force or army, members of World Organization or United Nations can help the cause of peacekeeping by making units of their national forces available on special notice for UN operations. This idea of a world police force being discussed in many circles of government today, unregenerate men has arrived at the place where he sees the desperate need for a policing of the nations of the earth under one general control, else he would blow himself into kingdom come. In 1963, the 74-year-old president of India in the city of Los Angeles, California, at which time he spoke to 600 guests gathered at a civic dinner in one of the leading hotels. Dr. Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan, the leader of 460 million people, present population 700 million. And it's time for all people to make the suffering of others their own and make the world a single unit. We further stated that in the light of current racial discrimination as well as political domination, it was expected the world be made one true community. Even in foreign lands, international figures have the idea of ready, formulated, them are minds for a one-world community. In 1961, Brigadier General Hugh B. Hester, retired, self-described a thermonuclear pacifist, said, a limited world government empowered to back up its edicts is necessary in order to avert a third world war. Retired Brigadier General, who was formerly the director of the Food and Agricultural Program in occupied Germany from 1945 until 1947, foresaw the increasing need for a one-world government. Toward the establishment of an eventual one-world community, it was suggested in 1964 the United States switch to the metric system of measurements. It was proposed by the Stanford Research Institute in California that the United States change over to the metric system and begin using kilometers instead of miles and kilograms instead of pounds. Presently, 82% of the world does use the metric system for measuring. The only exceptions is the English-speaking nations. This switchover was begun in 1971. So those who vision a one-world community are thinking in terms of a universal system of measuring pounds, inches, feet, quarts, and other everyday units of measure. Certainly true, a one-world community is well on its way to becoming an actuality. Political masterminds are continually hammering away constant endeavor to sharply focus the minds of world leaders toward the need for casting aside our individual governments and wholly accepting a one-world form of government. One Commonwealth Peace, which continually bombards the leaders of governments today in regard to world unity, is the United Nations organization representing upwards of 200 nations with International Headquarters in New York City. For instance, in an Associated Press dispatch from Berkeley, California, dated April 3, 1964, the late Mr. Stevenson said, "The United States does not pass on in support of world policing and world laws. The world, without exaggeration, is lost." I'm sure Mr. Stevenson was not even remotely aware of that he was speaking prophetic words, because the scriptures tell us that not only the United States, but other nations in the world as well are eventually going to lose their individual identification as respective nations. In some places in the United States of America, our flag shares in display with the UN flag or the United Nations flag. Okay. Now, in the Word of God, we read that in the closing days of this particular age, which, of course, is the church age, there is to come upon the world scene a man who will quickly grow into an international personality, specifically fortified along political and military lines. This man is known in the Bible as the Antichrist. Matthew calls him the abomination of desolation. Daniel the prophet writes to him as the little horn. John, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, calls him the beast. But whatever you call him, he's still the same evil-minded man. He'll be Satan's personal representative upon the earth, and Bible students commonly refer to him as the Antichrist. Now, here's the scripture. "And the dragon, Satan, gave him," Antichrist, "his power, seat, and great authority. They worshiped the dragon with great power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And power, satanic power, was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's Revelation 13, verses 2 through 5. Those verses of Scripture boldly declare that in the end of the age, Satan, whom the Bible speaks of as a ruling evil power of this earth, 1 John 5:19, is to grant his own satanic power to a human being. A human being is to become endowed with supernatural satanic power, at the same time receiving unusual and great authority. So, all, in capacity, will be the Antichrist's power, and so, all-embracing will be his authority, that every human being upon the earth, regardless of nationality, race, or creed, will be forced to worship and obey the Antichrist. He becomes so successful in his military exploits that he will win every battle, and the people will cry out as one voice, who is able to make war with him? The Antichrist will become the world's great military strategist. Why shouldn't he? He will possess Satan's authority. He will be the great one, world ruler. He'll be the head of the world system. When I read reports from our news services wherein international political figures strongly advise and urge that we shed our individual nationalism and adopt a fearful road that leads toward a one-world government, a one-world police force, and a one-world court, universal law and universal taxation, and are suddenly conscious of the unquestionable fact that these devices are used by a higher power to soften, delude, and confuse the minds of freedom-loving people. So they say eventually we won over to complete the laying of the groundwork whereby Satan, the evil seducer of the world, will be able to bring his Antichrist on the world scene, and after giving him unusual power and authority, the Antichrist will be accepted universally as the exalted ruler of a one-world system. Now, for some of you listening to this lesson, this idea of a one world ruled by one man is far-fetched. For some, it's hard to accept because the fighting and the bloodshed and freedom surges through your veins. But remember, my dear listener, God gave America to the world. America has been responsible as the main source of truth and gospel to the entire world for more than 100 years. Multiplied millions of souls around the world have heard the gospel and been saved, became Christian men and women in America, having been willing to sacrifice so God's message of redemption could be proclaimed to a lost and dying world. God has blessed America for her role in getting out the gospel. But mankind the world over in these last days has refused to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The Bible tells us that God is going to turn the masses of humanity the last days over to a strong delusion or misleading influence. Would you please read the following passage of Scripture because it will notice carefully, you'll see contained in these verses of inspired Holy Writ the Bible reason why men in high political office are able to put out their camouflage in world unity and have it accepted. Excuse me. It's actually being endorsed by multiplied millions of people at the very thing they should do. The majority of the world's inhabitants believe that they are told by popular men, especially in high offices of international leadership. All right, let's read the Bible now. Even him, referring to the Antichrist, or the man of sin, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and sign and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because the people have not received the truth, God shall send them permit to come upon them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned or judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's Thessalonians. Excuse me. First Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, KJV. Okay, these four verses of Scripture to tell us that at the end of this age, God is going to permit a strong delusion or a misleading influence to come upon the entire world population as punishment for their not having believed and accepted his Son as their own personal Savior. They refuse to accept the gospel plan of God's salvation for themselves. They will pay for their unbelief. In the light of the Associated Press report from Berkeley, California, written Mr. Stevenson, wherein Mr. Stevenson had an audacious dream of world unity, which we quoted, we're able to see, even now in our day, in 2021, there is being palmed off upon the unsuspecting peoples of the world a sort of fanciful dream world, and mankind is being made to believe that the nations of the world could live better and more peacefully if they would rid themselves of individualism or nationalism and become a universal state with a one-world ruler. Exactly what Satan will have peoples of the world to believe. Amazed how dumb people can be about matters of this nature. My dear listener, it's coming upon the world scene as fast as it possibly can come. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled with incredible speed in these closing hours of grace. In view of the fact that the one-world ruler, known in Scripture as the Antichrist, is to eventually take over complete rulership of the earth, the Bible tells us the Almighty is going to send his Son Jesus Christ back to the earth at the conclusion of the Antichrist's three-and-a-half-year reign, and Jesus Christ will completely knock out Satan's one-world army, which will be gathered outside the city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ will come from heaven and defeat the one-world army, destroying it completely, taking the leader of that and casting him into the lake of fire, where he will remain in an everlasting fire. Okay, now there's the scripture. And I saw the beast, Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Christ, and sat on his horse and against his army. And the beast, Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, Antichrist and false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20 in your KJV. Now, so we see that God in his overall prophetic plan is going to allow the eventual culmination of a one-world government under satanic leadership to become an actuality. Then God is going to send his Son back to the earth, and he will destroy the satanic forces, and Jesus Christ will set up a one-world community, which will also be a one-world form of government, but under God's control. It'll be a reign of righteousness. I can't wait. Ooh, this is going to be cool. Praise God. Scripture, and in the days of these kings, speaking about the 10 kings who will be in charge of the 10 toes on the 2 feet of Nebuchadnezzar's image, shall be the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, set up a kingdom, an earthly one, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, the one world kingdom of the Antichrist supported by the 10 nations, revised Roman Empire, and it, Christ's kingdom, shall stand forever. Yay! And Daniel 2:44. Therefore, my dear listener, in the light of this continual bombardment by certain political leaders of the world for a one-world government, let's be thoroughly comforted in the knowledge blessed Son of God will come back to the earth, and he will completely eliminate all of the man-made forms of government and establish his own earthly kingdom, which will stand forever. Again, let's praise the Lord. As we come to the close of this lesson, may I say, with all the Christian love in my heart, that I've tried to explain in a childlike manner the great overall satanic program, which is systematically leading this world system toward a one-world form of government. You can see clearly from the important context of this lesson that the midnight hour is fast, of closing in on the world, the harvest is past, the summer is ended. Jeremiah 8:20 in King James Version. Considering what we have just read in this particular lesson, one world, good or bad. Present world conditions for the sinner are bad because satanic rulership is leading toward a one-world government. But for the born-again Christian, present world conditions are good. All of God's children, the born-again, are nearing the end of our earthly journey. Soon the shout shall be given in the heavens, and we'll go to be with him there to lay down all our burdens and earthly cares, plus any crowns we may have won, and be in his glorious presence forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the next lesson is the Jewish temple.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the going air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2, so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, I want to remind everybody of the upcoming shows that are coming up the next couple of days. Tomorrow on Station 2, you call 515-605 9340, 515-605-9340, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern, for the Word of the King at 1 p.m. Eastern, Station 2, and then, of course, at 9 p.m. Eastern on this station, Station 1, 9 p.m. Eastern, 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. Eastern, for the Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. Then on Friday, we come back to Station 2 for the program that's most interesting to most people. If you know a truck driver, have them join us this Friday at 6 p.m., 6 p.m. for My Daddy's Records. My Daddy's Records at 6 p.m. on this station, 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340, Station 2 at 6 p.m. on Friday for My Daddy's Records as we give a tribute to the truck driver. And then at 8:30 p.m. on this station, Station 1, 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, 8:30 p.m. on Station 1, you will catch AJ and the Squad. So you'll want to check all that great programming coming up here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And finally, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us?
Now, as always, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and just little old me.
Ah, so we do have Sister Emily with us. Speaking of the heaters, well, Emily don't give off any heat, per se, so no one has to worry about getting burned with her unless her temper's going. But what we really got to worry about with her, she don't give off CO2 either, but we need to worry about a methane buildup, and she needs proper venting when she's in the house.
Kenny, you're so silly.
Right, Emily?
She's going to get you.
All right, Emily, are you there? Got your coffee? You notice I'm picking on her and she doesn't get me back. I must have got her pretty good. She didn't pick back.
She could be trying to get prayer requests from some other people. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Or maybe she's venting.
Well, that's about the same as all of us. We all have things like that going on, I think. I think I've had a problem ever since I was little about my temperament.
Yeah. Well,
I ask the Lord for help, though. I got to get better at that.
Well, with that, knowing that our show is coming fast to the end of the broadcast, what we're going to do, we'll just go ahead and let you give us a closing prayer since she either A, fell asleep, or B, she's tied up on her prayer line. So we'll let you give us a closing prayer, Ruth, and then we'll be out of here.
Yeah, we'll let her do the prayer next time.
My goodness sake, sound like the whole train fell.
All right, dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with us as we part our ways as people, but and not your presence. Your presence is always with us. And we're so glad that you're on the throne. Help us out. And we've got a lot of issues to pray for. Just pray for everybody who has an illness or something else going on. So I know you know everything, so I'm not worried about the prayer requests because you know what they are. So I just love you and praise your name, Lord. And everybody have a nice night. Love you, Lord. Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless everybody.